Let me ask you this, because I feel like there's a lesson in every story, and there's something that you can take from every story and learn from every story. And sometimes what we think is reality isn't reality. And it's important for people to know the truth, and it's important for people to learn from other people's experiences, because it could potentially happen to you. So a few years ago, we had a former president, Donald Trump, and it was very controversial when you took a picture with him. And you got a lot of backlash, a lot of hate, all kinds of negative energy. But when we met you, you explained to us the story. And when you explained to us the story, it was so crazy, because it just goes to show you how something can be changed and a narrative can be painted, and people just run with half of what they see and they don't even understand it. Can you explain that infamous moment?
Well, first of all, if I'd listened to my wife, it wouldn't have been no infamous moment.
First lesson.
That's the first start.
Lesson number one.
That's number one. But here's what happened. Before he got sworn in, he had appointed Ben Carson to the head of HUD. And HUD is Housing and Urban Development. It's the only black on the cabinet. So I said, let me go up there and meet Ben Carson. So when I got to Trump Towers, I went in, sat down to meet with him, and he said, why are you here? I said, I want to meet Ben Carson, because I have an idea. He got Ben Carson on the phone. Me and Ben Carson talked right away. I told him the idea I had. I wanted to take some of these schools that they had destroyed and shut down in black neighborhoods, and I wanted to take them and turn them into what I call vision centers, where we would create financial literacy, after school programs, you know, and get these young cats off the street so they have something to do, and then give the parents some financial literacy. He fell in love with the idea. I leave the building, I'm on the elevator, Donald Trump say, I'll ride down with you. I said, I'll be damned. So he gets on the elevator, he riding down with him. Now, before I got on the elevator, I told the reporters, I'll be back over and tell you why I'm here. I walk up to the reporters, he walks in front of me. He the president to be, right? So he walks in front of me, now I'm standing there. First word out his mouth was, we're gonna repeal and replace Obamacare. I didn't say shit about that. I didn't mention none of that. I don't know what you talking about, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here going, I'll be damned. And all I heard was my wife going, don't go up there yet. So when he left, I stood up and told the reporters what the deal was. By the time I got to my car, because this happened on my 60th birthday, was that weekend. My wife had a nice trip for me. All I had to do was go get on that damn boat, like she said. That's all my ass had to do. But oh no, I'm gonna go up here for black people. Before I got in the car, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it, man. I was a coon, I was a jigaboo, I was a spook, I was an Uncle Tom, and that shit hurt me to the core, because all I do when I wake up is walk out the door as a black man to represent the black culture, to be something that some young person can look at and go, yeah, I'll do it that way. My whole hustle and grind has been for black people. And so it kind of hurt me, man. And so here's fast forward. Turns out the Vision Centers was the only initiative Ben Carson had his entire run. They changed the name of it from Vision Centers to Envision Centers. You can go online and look them up. They opened up three of them. All the ideas I had given them, they enabled it. Then they asked me to come take a picture with Ben Carson in front of the schools. And I said, nah, because y'all had ate my ass up so bad before. Y'all ain't getting no more pictures of me. My family got attacked and all this here. But that was a hurtful moment for me, because I went up there to get housing and benefit for black people. And then they turned on me like that. You know, but I always know how to hang in there. You know, it's kind of like, I know it's a lot of hip hop cats in here, but old school music still registers very deep in my soul. I'm an R&B guy. So there's a song that Temptations had out, and I had to sing it to myself. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg and plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, because you mean that much to me. So I just hung in there with black people. I just stayed in there with y'all's ass, because I knew eventually y'all was going to have to get all right. Well, some of y'all didn't, but it's cool, though.
But I want to ask you about that, because when you reach levels of success, especially now, you're going to get some level of hate online.
Yeah.
You're going to get some level of hate on YouTube. You're going to get critics. And it has an effect on your psyche. So how would you coach people through? What advice would you give to the young people that haven't experienced that yet, but they might be in sports, they might be in music, they might be entrepreneurs, they might be online? At some point when that comes, what do you do to just keep going?
It's interesting, because I was talking to Waka Flocka backstage, and he came up to me and said, "Hey man, you don't know what you mean to me." I've never met the brother before. And he was saying, "You don't know what you mean to me." He said, "Man, I follow you, I listen to you, man." He said, "Man, you changed from just a comedian to a real man, and you made me start looking at some things I want to do." And then we shook hands. He was fitting to walk away, and he turned around and he said, "You know what else I like about you, man? You ain't vengeful. You're not vengeful." And that kind of stuck with me. So I said, "How you mean?" He said, "Man, you could come back at so many people, but I don't never see you going out to attack people." Because I learned a long time ago from a minister. He said, "Stay on the wall. When they throwing rocks at you, stay on the wall. If you come down off the wall to address haters and small people, see, they eye level with you now. Now they can throw the rocks and they hurt. But if you just stay on the wall, what can they do?" And you gotta understand some young people about haters. Haters are not decision makers, power brokers, or shakers and movers. They have no determining factor on your life, where you headed, or what God planned for you. Stop giving haters power. Don't even talk to their ass. I don't give a, look man, I'm 65. I don't give a damn what you say about me. You're not stopping nothing. Look, what God has for you, it is yours. All God's plans for you, his purpose, if you just open up yourself to him, he gonna make all of them come true. But if you stop and keep addressing haters, you will never be open to your purpose and your mission in life. So my directive is to stay on the wall. When they attack me for whatever, I stay on the wall. Because they do it all the time, man. Especially people I thought I was cool with, other celebrities. You know, they got little stuff to say. But then I look at their career, and they have time to say little stuff. They have time. See, let me tell you something, man. People that's busy, they ain't got time. Denzel ain't got time to talk about me. Magic Johnson ain't got time to talk about me. Tyler Perry ain't got time to talk about me. Because they building their empire. Man, let me tell you something, man. One time I was finna respond to something on the blog. Tyler Perry called me and said, "Hey, man, what you getting ready to do?" I said, "I'm going on CNN with Anderson Cooper, and I'm going to straighten this whole thing out in them blogs." He said, "No, you're not." He said, "You know why?" He said, "Listen to me, Steve. When they talk about you as a blog, if you open your mouth, it's a press conference. You got to know who you are." So I say to all people out there, know who you are and know where God taking you. Get up on the wall and stay there.
That's powerful.